National attitudes toward transgender people have come a long way in recent years. Many people have shared their stories of feeling like they were born in the wrong body, and over time they changed to what they felt was true. Our guest this hour is the person standing next to the person making the gender transition. Kristen K. Collier was happily married with two small children when her husband said he did not feel like he should be a man. Kristen tells the story in her book, Housewife, Home Remaking in a Transgender Marriage. Kristen, thanks for joining us in the studio today.
Thanks so much, Jeffrey. It's great to be here.
Kristen is an educator and writer of both prose and poetry. She teaches compassionate communication as well, and NPR featured Kristen and her spouse on the program Snap Judgment a few years ago. So it's been 11 years now since your husband was diagnosed with gender dysphoria. How did your husband prep you for it?
Wow. Well, about 13 years ago, he told me that he wanted to wear women's clothing, and that was a shock enough, even though I thought I was pretty liberal at the time. And then for about 3 years, he was in therapy, and after that time, he came to terms with the fact that she didn't feel comfortable being a man in any way anymore and needed to transition fully as a woman. And by that time, we had waded through the difficult stress of not knowing, which was probably the hardest part. And then we just had to figure out a way to make our peace with it. But it all took a long time. You know, there was like 4 years there because there wasn't a lot of precedent for people going through that kind of a transition, for my side, especially.
When you went out there and looked for materials that could have helped illuminate what you were going through as again, the person standing next to the person making the gender transition, what did you find?
You know, at the time, there was a book called My Husband Betty, and that was a wonderful book by Helen Boyd, except that she didn't have children, and I really felt alone in having a family and navigating having a family. And at that point, I was a stay-at-home mom, and we were a single-income earner family, so I really depended on our family structure, and I wanted to find out how somebody had done it with children, and also just the amount of dependence that I had on the relationship. It was really an important relationship to me.
And your kids, I mean, this is right around the time of the birth of your second child, Sam, right?
Yeah, he was about 3 years old when she actually realized that she needed to be a woman full time. But at 6 months, that's when he realized he wanted to wear women's clothing.
You write that shifting into another life requires something outside yourself, a territory, which is interesting phrasing. What does that mean?
So it's interesting. As we transition, we shift from one space to another. And in the case of Seda transitioning, you know, it's often noted that people transition from one gender to another, but it's really, she was staying still in her truth. It was me who transitioned, and it was the children who transitioned to see her as their Maddie. So that territory, you have to move from one space to another. And the book really includes that territory was the garden, and was our community, and was our family, and was our household and cooking, and all of those pieces integrate into the story that is the story of our transition as a family, not just her gender transition.
That's a really interesting way to put it, though, that Seda, formerly Fred, realized that, okay, this is how I can be who I truly am, getting in touch with the real them, and then you were the ones who had to adjust.
Exactly.
Do many people automatically assume that a gender change in a couple means the couple splits?
Many people do. And in fact, as you asked about the early research, most of what I found on the internet, most people had split. Or if they hadn't split, they didn't say exactly what the nuts and bolts were of staying together. And I was really curious about, you know, all of the different facets. So I tried to provide that in the book because we stayed together, but we didn't stay together in a conventional way. We still parent together under one roof. But she has her own wing, and I have my own romantic partner, and she has had a romantic partner along the way, and there's space for her to have a romantic partner again at some point if she wishes.
Okay, so you're a couple in some senses, certainly in a family structure sort of way, but not in a couple kind of way.
Right, it's more like we're family. Honestly, I felt very much like a widow when I lost my husband because we had an amazing marriage. We never fought, and so when he became a she, the he was left behind. It was gone. And I really didn't have that husband person to lean on anymore. And the whole chemistry and dynamic in our relationship shifted. And so in the end, you know, here I'm sitting in a new place.
Well, let's back up a bit because at 18 years old, you swore you'd never marry. Why did you make that claim back then?
Oh, you know, I'd seen relationships fall apart all around me, and I thought, wow, I'm never going to get married. And then once I got married, I thought, I'm never going to get divorced. Ironically, we're still legally married on paper, but I have a wonderful romantic partner who is my partner at this point. But Seda's a parenting partner to our kids, and she joins us for dinners, and so we all have these family dinners, and we play soccer together and football and watch movies, so we're all a family. It just has more people in it than I expected when I had the white picket fence.
You said Maddie. This is what the children call,
right,
call
yes.
Seda?
It's kind of a cross between mother and daddy, and that was adopted from Jenny Boylan's memoir, She's Not There. And her kids, I think, came up with it. So we proposed that to our kids as a possibility, and they said, yeah, we like that.
So when then Fred mentioned first that we need to talk, I'd like to wear women's clothing. I mean, where did your mind go there, particularly for somebody who considered herself open-minded, liberal, artistic, et cetera?
Well, it was really scary because I had no context for it. I didn't know anything about transgenderism. And when it happens under your roof, especially, this was like the person I was hearing that the person that I was in love with and married to was going to be a different person, maybe, or it didn't make sense with what I knew of him. He was a Wyoming cowboy. He was a fisherman in Alaska. You know, he was this tough guy. And all of a sudden he wanted to wear women's clothing. It just didn't fit. And so it was really scary.
All right, we'll figure out where things went after that. A lot is mentioned in Kristen K. Collier's book, Housewife, Home Remaking, and Re is emphasized, Home Remaking in a Transgender Marriage. You've heard about the arrangement they have now. It's a bit different from what they started with, but Fred is now Seda, so there's been a few things to deal with there. We'll come back to the conversation. You're welcome to join into it, 800-838-3760 over the phone. Email is jx@jeffnet.org. Back on the Jefferson Exchange with Kristen Collier and you in a minute 20. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Kristen K. Collier, who lives in Eugene, and she writes about her life as the person who was married to a person who decided to shift gender, to go from being her husband, Fred, to her parenting partner, Seda. Her book is called Housewife, Home Remaking in a Transgender Marriage. You can join the discussion at 800-838-3760. Emails go to jx@jeffnet.org. So once Fred has said, I want to wear women's clothing, and you're thinking, wow, I'm not sure how I feel about this, you want to talk to somebody. So you call your best friend, and how does the person you call Michelle in the book, names have been changed, respond?
Well, Michelle, you know, when I called her, I was so scared, and that didn't help. But Michelle basically heard my fear, and her perspective was that there was no place for transgender people in the world under her religion and the way she saw things. And so she said, you know what, that God doesn't do that, Kristen. God wouldn't do that to you. So we are going to pray and that's going to be healed. And that was really scary because at the time I thought, well, what if there's nothing to be healed? What if it actually is okay? I'm not sure. Maybe it's just that I'm not okay with it. I wasn't sure what to do with that.
It sounds like some of the resistance in the early days of adjusting to what Fred, now Seda, wanted to do was you got a sense that Seda didn't really understand what it meant to be a woman.
Well, that's true. And she also didn't understand a lot about the whole process of being transgender either, because she grew up in Wyoming, so there was nothing like that. And as she worked on becoming a woman, she was literally watching me from the outside in, watching how I put on makeup, watching how I put together my outfits. It was very frustrating for me because I felt like she had previously watched me with the care and attraction of a mate, and now she was watching me critically trying to determine how to reproduce that effect on herself. That was really a confusing and frustrating time.
We talked about the support available to you, which there wasn't a lot of it, certainly not much in print at that time anyway. What did Fred seek out in the way of help in the early days?
There were a few people in town who had transitioned that he knew about, and he met with them. I remember him meeting in particular with a large woman who had become had been a butcher, so she had, you know, really like really strong, capable hands, and that was a little bit tricky in terms of passing as a woman after she had transitioned. But she had maintained her marriage, and she said that she and her wife were really solid and old-fashioned that way. And Seda got good information from that person and some other people that she met on the internet. But that the butcher was asked if I could talk to her wife, and she said, sure, I'm sure that she's fine with that. And I called three times and there was no response. So even though Seda, some of the places that Seda found some support from were not necessarily places that I could find support.
There's going to be stress in any household where there is a toddler and a recently born baby as well. I mean, just goes without saying, you know, lack of sleep and hurt nipples and all the things that come with the early days of any child's life. But with the stress in the house and were the kids aware at all of what you and Fred were going through?
Not at the time that we were struggling with it in those first few years, other than I think that energetically they picked up that there was a lot of stress going on. And my toddler had really big emotions, which he still does at 16. But, you know, that was a really bumpy time for us. And I think it was because he was probably reflecting my emotions. And I wasn't even aware of that. So I was working on processing through my emotions as quickly and as well as I could. But I had a lot to wade through, especially without the support that I wanted to find in the world. But, you know, one place that I did find a lot of support, which was a huge buoy, was Trans Family Spouses out of Chicago, was a wonderful Yahoo group. And that was a huge help for me.
I was about to say kudos to Yahoo for having this site out there. And it sounds like it took a bit of searching to find it.
It took a lot of searching. And the day that I managed to find it and ask, I had to ask to be a member. And then I had to wait a whole 2 days while they were processing that and could send it. And as soon as they sent it back, I was like shaking and I had my hands were sweaty. And I saw it come up that I could get on. And I just had tears running down my face. It was like, finally, I can connect with other people who are doing this. And they were so honest and so open. And I wish that they would all share their stories, too. That's my hope in writing this book, is that other people will start coming out and sharing their stories, because they're beautiful and amazing, and people are so courageous out there.
The book is called Housewife, Home Remaking in a Transgender Marriage. Kristen K. Collier of Eugene wrote it. Her husband, Fred, is now her parenting partner, Seda. You can join the conversation on The Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. It seems like it was around this time, too. We mentioned that you teach compassionate communication. So was it around this time in your lives that you discovered compassionate communication or nonviolent communication or NVC?
Yeah, it was when my youngest son was about 6 months old. I went to a workshop and kind of stumbled into it. And almost as quickly as I started practicing it, I started sharing it with the community, because I really saw the need for parents, not realizing how big of a role this wearing women's clothing was really going to play in our lives. And then later on, when I continued my learning of compassionate communication, I went to a peer-to-peer leadership program out of Bay NVC. And when I came back from a family camp from that, which was an intensive 7-8 day experience with my kids, Seda told me that she couldn't live anymore as a man. And in that 9-month program, that was like the biggest life workshop ever, to delve into my own emotions and learn how to work with my own heart so then that I could support other people in doing that as I taught later on.
So instant test, certainly.
Yeah, every day.
So up to that point, had you thought that this might have been a passing trend of like, well, okay, I like to wear the clothes, but that's really all?
Jeffrey, I sure hoped so. It was, you know, I really hoped for the first month or two. We hoped that, oh, she was just going to get it out of her system. And after a while, we thought that maybe she had in that way gotten it kind of out of her system and was ready to move on. But then it came back. And it would always come back when I left town, because I think that when my husband was around me, he saw in me the beauty of his soul reflected. And when I was gone, he was left with the hole of his soul, which wasn't quite sitting right in him. And that echoey, uncomfortable place was just something he couldn't ignore any longer when he was by himself. And when he came to actually bring that to the outside, she is such a happier person than she was ever before. And her ability to share herself with other people and be heartfully present as a parent, as a friend, as a community member is just astronomically higher.
You mentioned Fred as Fred certainly displayed some signs of self-loathing. When you go back and look at the years before the change, can you see some indications of that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he would get depressed a few times a year and tend to sit and watch the news, all of the negative things on the news, and feel despairing. You know, he would basically turn into any channel that would help him be in a despairing state. And he just didn't like himself. He didn't feel comfortable with himself. And I could never understand that because I thought he was just wonderful.
So this is not the kind of thing when you're taking out the trash you happen to mention to the neighbors, but I wonder how confined the circle was. I mean, particularly with the reaction from your best friend, how careful you were about talking to extended family and close friends, and how many people were brought in to know that the situation was going on?
Well, that first friend that I told, I checked in with her about once every 6 months or a year after that. We didn't talk about it a lot because I realized I needed some space to determine exactly what I had on my hands and how to work with it. It was another probably year and a half before I told anyone else in my recollection. And the first person I told then was a friend of mine who was overseas. So I figured she couldn't tell too many people over there. And after that, I told, you know, like two or three people. But it wasn't until Seda really made that decision that she had to live as a woman that it was time to tell people. And then literally telling the people on our street was terrifying to me because I was taking care of some of their kids and I wasn't sure if the traffic in our backyard, which was plentiful all the time, was going to change, if people were going to see us differently. And we had a pretty liberal neighborhood. It's just that when it's you and when you depend so much on your neighborhood, I mean, it was like an old-fashioned, there were people going in and out of people's houses without, you know, knocking,
taking care of each other's kids, the whole thing.
Totally. And so I went to tell my neighbors, and I went for a walk with one neighbor, and, you know, I got up the courage and I was so nervous, and I told her, and she said, "Oh, thank goodness. I thought you were going to tell me that you couldn't take care of my child on Fridays." And I said, "Oh, gosh, no, I'm glad to keep doing that." And she said, "Yeah, and my gosh, what a story." She said, "Gosh, I wish my husband would do that." And I thought, "What? Really?" You know, I would have loved to have just wrapped that up and given it to her. And she said, "Yeah, I've always been a lesbian, but I happened to fall in love with this man and we had children, but it's never been quite right with my truth." And I thought, wow, you know, I mean, and, you know, yet another story that's gone underground. I wouldn't have known that unless I had shared my story. So my hopes are that we share these stories with each other and we realize that this is much more commonplace than we ever imagined. Transgenderism, you know, challenges with our own identity around sexual orientation or gender identity, that's commonplace.
Well, it seems like we end up with a little bit of mystery around the things that we don't like to talk about very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there we go. So the book is called Housewife, Home Remaking in a Transgender Marriage. Kristen K. Collier from Eugene is the author, writing about her husband, Fred, becoming her parenting partner, Seda, over the years. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we continue the conversation. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Once Fred committed to transition, and maybe even before that, did you have frank chats about your future as a couple and what your future might look and feel like? I mean, did you consider back in the early days that you'd end up where you are now?
No, I don't think that where we are now was ever really on the map. And I think that we expected we would stay together up until the point that she realized that she was fully a she. And I think there was a point at which I kind of came to her with a clincher and said, "Are you sure you need to do this? Because you realize in doing this that you are risking, you know, your partnership with me and our family. Is it really worth all of that?" And she just looked at me with tears in her eyes and said, "You know, if I keep doing what I'm doing, I'm afraid I'm going to commit suicide. Because I've been so close to it for so long, and it's really serious, and I need to address it. I'm so sorry." And so we went on. But the thing was, we didn't know from day to day what our relationship was going to turn into. So every morning we would sit there eating breakfast and look at each other and kind of talk about, well, what do you think, kind of like over the kids' heads, kind of sideways, you know, do you think it's going to be like, are you going to still want to be with women or do you want to still be with men? You know, we weren't sure whether our sexual orientation would shift and open to allow us to keep the chemistry between us. And so we just kind of navigated that day by day. We didn't know what would happen. Typically, gender identity is distinctly separate from sexual orientation. But if on the spectrum of sexual orientation, you're not, you know, strongly heterosexual or strongly homosexual, then there can be some flexibility there. And some couples have made it through, you know, based on that.
Oh, particularly when you love someone.
I mean. Totally. And I totally, you know, we love each other so strongly, but our love has definitely shifted as she's become a new person into more of like a sisterly love and companionship. And it's so nice to have her there. And there are parts of her that I didn't have as a him that are really fun and we enjoy. And actually, one of the things that hasn't changed is that we talk with each other constantly, especially when we're traveling road trips. It's like talk, 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 talk. And now what's really great is when we stop for the rest stops, we don't have to separate to go to different bathrooms. We can just head right in and we just keep talking.
I imagine there's been some heartbreak along the way, though. I mean, at some point you had to realize, okay, we can't be as we were.
Yeah.
Because we're not the same people.
Yeah.
Came into the marriage.
Totally. And when people see how accepting and embracing I am of her and of our family situation, a lot of times they think, wow, she was always so easy with this. You know, she's different than everybody else, or, you know, that's just amazing. And then they crack open the book and they start reading and they're like, oh, wow, she actually had a really hard time with this. Somebody told me, yeah, you had a really human response. I wasn't expecting that. And it was, I mean, I fought it as liberal as I thought I was. I tried to talk her out of thinking that she was a woman. I told her she couldn't possibly have experienced what it was like to be cultured as a woman and to resist things the way that one does growing up as a woman. I did my best to talk her out of it, and it didn't happen because my heart was so invested in that relationship, and it was incredibly painful. And it took years of grieving and processing to come to the place where I could let go of her enough to really listen to her truth, and then she could embrace my truth, and we could move forward compassionately supporting each other's truths, but not at the expense of love. And that's something that I really feel like this book is about, specifically about a transgender story. But I think that these kinds of challenges, these major challenges, come up in everybody's relationship, whether it's an affair happening or a child who's born with disabilities, you know, whatever the big challenge is, we have to figure out a way to overcome it with compassion. And if we don't, then we're just kind of locking ourselves away from personal growth. So I'd love people to see it as not a disaster, but an opportunity.
Was it tough to find the place to keep you intact in the middle of this? I mean, trying to make sure that you're helping this person that you love dearly through what he then she is going through, versus making sure that you are emerge from this healthy and whole.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the nonviolent communication study that I was doing helped me to find what was deeply important to me, you know, what were my dearest needs that needed to be met, and kept me open to all of the possible strategies to meet those needs. And I think that the trust that we had in each other's trajectory, and just the trust that we had in the unconditional love we had for one another, despite whether we might have a role shift, made it so that I could embrace my own truth just as she could embrace her own truth. That was a really, really important part of our relationship.
You waited a few years, three at least by my count, Trinidad and Sam 6 and 4 when you told them. And how much did you tell them?
It was pretty simple, actually. Seda said, I have never felt comfortable in a man's body, but I couldn't figure that out. I just felt like I didn't feel comfortable when I was young. And I'm just realizing that I have always felt like being a woman or a girl instead. And so I've got to make that change and live the rest of my life as a woman. And I want to let you guys know that, but it has nothing to do with my feelings for you or my commitment to this family. And I'm wondering if you have any questions. And the boys were kind of looking blank. We had her. And one of them said, I think that's okay, but I don't know if I'm going to recognize you in the morning. And she said, oh, wow, this is not going to happen overnight. This is going to take months, maybe years. I'm sure Sade would have loved it if it happened overnight, right. but it takes a long time. And the only other concern was whether she would be willing to play rough with them still. And she said, oh, yeah, definitely. So once those concerns were laid to rest, they were totally supportive of it and actually changed pronouns faster than I did. They reminded me when I slipped up for pronouns. And it's been completely seamless. I mean, we told them when they were young, though, so they weren't going through the identity searching in terms of gender that, you know, a teenager would be. And that was helpful. That was one of our intentions, was to tell them and to make that transition while they were young to preserve those relationships.
You ultimately write that identity is a co-created experience.
Yeah.
That's deep.
Well, it really is. And I didn't realize that until not only watching Sade go through it, but also then going through it myself, because I thought at first that Sade could just be a woman inside of herself and that that would be enough. I mean, we often hear in the media, our inner truths are what's important. But the way people see you is also very important, because you take in that information of how people see you and you have a sense of resistance to it if you believe something differently, or you embrace it and get a deeper sense of who you are when they also are accepting of who you are. And so I thought that she could just be who she was. But when she transitioned and started living as a woman, which was at first, you know, bumpy, she didn't look super feminine at first. It took some time, took hormone treatments and the laser treatments to remove the hair and stuff like that. But I went through an identity shift myself where I looked like I was in a homosexual couple, and that wasn't part of my identity. And I got to go, how do I feel about that? You know, walking arm in arm with a now woman. It was tricky.
The book is called Housewife, Home Remaking in a Transgender Marriage. Kristen Collier from Eugene wrote it and joined us today in the exchange. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you so much, Jeffrey.